It's an area that is, even today, it's a very severely eroded and desiccated landscape with a lot of deep arroyos that are draining or, you know, open down to the river area there. And the tactic that was being used prehistorically by the, at least by the Folsom people, which are the group that were being identified by the archaeological work there, which would date back, say, about probably 11,000 to 11,500 years ago, the hunters were using these arroyas that were sort of a box end. In other words, there was just sort of a, the animals would get kind of eased up into the arroyo and then all of a sudden come to the back side of the arroyo, which was a steep wall, and the hunters appear to have then been hiding above that zone of the arroyo, and when the animals that had been kind of pushed up by some other hunters you know, would jump up and spear them, because these sites out there are showing quite a preponderance of spear points that have been recovered, along with the bone bed of the animals, showing that there are numbers of animals both killed and then also being butchered by the prehistoric hunters.
So you'd call this a kill site?
You would.
Yeah.
Correct. They were hoping to locate, you know, a possible campsite that would go along with the kill site, but at least at the time that we were out there, and there had been several seasons of work done in that area, you know, preliminary to this particular season of work in 2012, and they keep looking for campsites, but those would have been pretty ephemeral, you know, on the landscape, and I think that they probably were camping out of the arroyas, you know, just up on the uplands, and probably those sites were long ago obliterated by all of the erosional processes and so on.
Had you yourself done much work at Badger Hole before going there for this program?
No, I had never seen Badger Hole before, except in some slides. Lee Bement, who is the archaeologist who is with the Oklahoma Archaeological Survey, who's been a really dear friend over many years of time, we both share a real keen interest in the early peopling of the New World. And so I had seen a couple of reports that he had given previously on a couple of the other arroyas out in that whole same, you know, arroyo system, and was familiar with the tactic. It's a tactic that's been used up here in the Northern Plains as well. There are some sites out in Wyoming that are pretty well known that same kind of a strategy was being used by the same people of the same era. In other words, that 11 to 12,000 year ago time frame seemed to be a point in time where there were herds in the areas, and these arroyas were a very expedient. You know, the arroyas themselves become part of the technology, basically, of the hunting. In other words, it's just like the spears and so on are part of their technology. The use of these arroyas was the same thing.
Now, the concept of the public television program Time Team America that you participated in is that you have 72 hours or 3 days to do your work?
Correct. And that's the same format that was used in the English shows. The idea being that, you know, of course, archaeology is something that extends over usually weeks or months of time. But the intent here is to throw quite a bit of sophisticated equipment along with the use of a number of different types of ground-penetrating equipment, like ground-penetrating radar and magnetometers and so on, where there can be a more intense focus on where one maybe should be excavating. These are always, I mean, the sites have always been previously revealed to exist, and so the idea is to just try to determine how extensive a particular site might be by doing some very limited testing. More than anything else, the program was, I think, developed over time to be somewhat of a reality type of program, where the discussions between the archaeologists or between the, you know, the combined group of scientists that are there is more the focus of the program, maybe, than whether they find a lot of things or not, because you, in such a limited time frame, you know, it's pretty difficult to expect to get spectacular finds that quickly. But
does it become something like a race or a competition?
I don't think so. I mean, the only, it's more just the excitement of archaeology in the first place, trying to demonstrate that archaeology is in many ways like a reconstructing a huge jigsaw puzzle where you are missing most of the pieces. And of course, by having a team of people who have quite a few years of experience from different aspects of the, some of the people on the team are historic archaeologists that deal with historic sites, some of them are prehistoric archaeologists, and then they bring in specialists who are geologists and, you know, various and sundry specialists in running this highly technical equipment for doing the ground penetrating type of examination. And so it really is meant to be more showing the camaraderie between people and just showing how each person, you know, can contribute their particular expertise to it to try to sort out in the very short 3-day time frame at least something about how the site is structured and then what kind of continuing work, you know, might be able to be done as a follow-up to the initial investigation.
You're listening to Dakota Midday on South Dakota Public Broadcasting. I'm Carl Gerken. We're talking with Dr. Adrian Hannes, Professor of Anthropology and Director of the Archaeology Laboratory at Augustana College in Sioux Falls. He's featured in this evening's episode of Time Team America on SDPB-TV. The episode is The Bones of Badger Hills. It takes place at a dig in western Oklahoma. And Dr. Hannes, you talk about the different specialists, the different areas of expertise. What is your, particularly in this episode, what is your specialty, your expertise?
Well, I guess that I was asked to participate both because I had assisted in putting together the National Science Foundation grant, and also my particular area of greatest interest in American archaeology is with the very early peopling of the New World. And so this would be one of those rare sites that dates to, you know, a very, very early period in the prehistory of the New World. So, but also they wanted me to, and I guess I demonstrated something about the type of weaponry that they were using, using these atlatls, which is a type of throwing device that you throw your spears with, which helps intensify the velocity of it and also intensify the penetration of it. And then additionally, they were they're discussing some of the stone tool technology, and I guess that I had become of interest to them in this case because back in 1983, I had some surgery done and had requested that the surgeon use some very specialized blades made out of volcanic glass that were blades that were first used about 2,500 years ago by the Mayan peoples. And because they have the sharpest edge that can be created so far that we know of, so they're much, much sharper than modern surgical steel. And so I think there's maybe a little clip of my surgery. I know that on their website currently there is a little snippet of video that they shot with me, you know, discussing these blades. So I'm kind of involved both in discussing some of the stone tool technology and discussing the some of the weaponry that they were using.
Was this a fun project to be a part of?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, this is the thing that happens. The community of archaeologists is really not that huge, and there are numbers of people that, you know, come to specialize in different areas of interest. And so, like I say, the fellow that's excavating that particular site, Lee Bement, is a old and dear friend of mine and somebody who's a lot of fun, and certainly the people that are the other members of the cast, which changed a little bit from the first year of the series that I participated in. But in any case, you know, it's just a fun group of people to be out in the field with. And so, and it's an interesting phenomena just to watch some of these productions as they're, you know, being developed, because there are all kinds of techniques that are used by the film crews and so on to get some interesting angles of, you know, for their filming and stuff. So again, it was that area of the out toward the panhandle of Oklahoma when we were down there in June was, it was heating up a little bit, but it's a very rugged and quite attractive area. And it's also one that the landscape still is preserved pretty well as it probably appeared 11,000 years ago. And so you come to have, when you begin to, you know, visit some of these areas and some of these landscapes and then look at the sites that are buried in these landscapes, you really get a much better sense of the complexity that would have faced the people prehistorically, because of course the herds that they were hunting would have been wandering around on the landscape, but they had to develop a keen enough knowledge of the behavior of the animals to be able to figure out how to get them to wander up into one of these arroyo systems where, you know, where the hunters had already placed themselves strategically to be able to accomplish the hunting and the, you know, killing of the animals. So it's I think you really get a sense of how keen the knowledge of the peoples of the past was about their landscapes and the animals and so on that inhabited those landscapes.
So a large part of your interest in this is understanding the people. That would be the anthropology part of
right.
your work.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think that you know, many folks in the public may believe that archaeologists are completely focused on artifacts and that we probably secretly have vaults at home that we go home and roll around in artifacts at night or something. But in fact, contrary to that picture, we really are just trying to flesh out from a very limited record, you know, site after site, little bits of information that we can tease out that contributes to a broader picture of how the people in a particular time period, you know, were using landscapes. And of course, the landscapes themselves are a very dynamic thing, and over the last 11, 12,000 years, they've certainly been altered both by the climatic changes and also, of course, as more and more humans come to populate them, we change them ourselves. So, you know, again, it's really trying to understand how we, over time, have evolved and what our successes were and what some of our failures were. And you find little glimpses of that. For instance, we found a number of points there that were broken, probably when they impacted on the animals. So you begin to understand that the tools that they were working with, and they found some butchering tools too, and the bones themselves reflect how the animals were taken apart. In other words, the sequence of, you know, butchering. They also shot a little bit of footage of an animal that they had purchased, a bison, that'll probably be in this show, that shows some of the effectiveness of using stone tools as, you know, for butchering tools rather than steel tools. So,
what do you think a program like Time Team America does to help people understand what archaeology is all about?
Well, you know, you would hope, I mean, I would hope, I guess, that by listening to some of the discussions between the different archaeologists that are out in the field participating and some of the other folks that are participating with us, that in the first place that, you know, the viewers get a sense not only of how intriguing the entire process can be, and also, you know, it demonstrates how you do a certain level of forensic detective work, because you're trying to piece together the different elements that, you know, fully would contribute to showing you or giving you a glimpse into this moment in the past. And I think it's also important, too, for folks to realize that this is a science, and that there are a very, you know, specific set of sort of underlying ways in which you proceed to conduct some of this research that hopefully it's something that will contribute toward exciting the public about what we do, and also most of the land in this country that archaeologists work on is private land, and so you really need to have the public be engaged in understanding what you do and to some degree why you do it, and hopefully, you know, become interested enough that they support you in, you know, in the future in allowing you onto some of their properties and so on when things are found, and realize too that the bottom line of what's really critical in archaeology is the context of the remains. In other words, a projectile point by itself doesn't mean very much if it's out of context, but if you find it in an archaeological site and you're correctly excavating the site, then the relationship of that point to other items that are in the site, you know, really is the way in which we can begin to build some kind of an understanding of what was specifically going on. Whereas if somebody just brings some artifacts into my office, I can't really tell them very much about them. Whereas, you know, if we find something in place and we do the correct type of scientific evaluation of it, we might be able to tell a fairly extensive story about that particular site.
Well, Dr. Hannes, I want to thank you so much for taking the time to talk with us on Dakota Midday.
Well, absolutely. I thank you very much for inviting me to do so, and I'll look forward to hearing that everybody was riveted to their TV sets later this evening.